Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all for being with me. You can support the Father's Day by becoming a member there on the YouTube channel or Jesse Lee Peterson on locals.com. And don't forget to check out my coffee. Amazing Punchy's coffee. It's so good. It makes you want to holler. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop. I have with me Amy Reichert. She is an activist, founder of Restore San Diego, and an elected member of the Republican Central Committee in California, in San Diego, California. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
You've been very busy.
There's a lot going on, especially with the election this past week and all the controversy coming out of L.A.
Yeah, it's a mess. What's important to you, Amy?
Saving California. I've lived here my whole life. We live under Democrat supermajority, and I've watched them slowly and then quickly destroy the state and the place that I love.
Yeah. And when you say save it, how do you save it from all this mess that's going on?
Well, I was never politically active before. I got involved in 2020. I started a group called Reopen San Diego for the safe reopening of churches and schools and small businesses. And then police and firefighters came to us in San Diego and said, we're about to get sued and they're not going to honor our Christian exemptions from the COVID shot. And so Reopen San Diego sued them in federal court, and we won, and we saved their jobs. And then ever since then, I've never looked back, and I've been involved, and now I'm the chairwoman of a PAC called Restore San Diego, which is based on the same principles, which is just fighting against what we see here in California is actual tyranny.
And how is that going for you?
I'd say it's a tough fight, especially when you see such devastating, disappointing election results coming out of this past week, when you see a little-known socialist candidate in Los Angeles all of a sudden overtake Spencer Pratt, who was a populist and popular candidate who had his house burned down in the Palisades, and he was speaking the truth. And I'm on X. I have over 75,000 followers there, and what I've been covering lately are the election results and how mysteriously Skid Row in Los Angeles saw a 133% jump in voter turnout in this past election.
Amazing. I for those who don't know, this is June 9th, 2026. And because the film, this interview will be out there forever. And Amy is referring to the governor and mayoral election we just had preparing for November of 2026. Why is it that they allowed California to vote on Tuesday, the past Tuesday, but we don't know the election until weeks and weeks later? I remember in the good old days, before we went to bed on the night of voting, we knew who won or lost. Why are they allowing that to happen?
Over the past 15 years, the California Democrats, as they seized control of the state, even though 55% of all voters in California are not Democrats, 80% of the elected offices are held by Democrats, and they have ruled with a heavy hand. And one of the things they decided to do was really loosen up elections. So, of course, we had COVID and the lockdowns. That's when the governor did the emergency order. Executive order. So instead of in-person elections, everything was by mail. And it's really a joke. If you look at the outside of the envelope for the mail-in ballots, anyone can put just an X in the signature line. And then it says in the small print, if you cannot sign your signature, just put an X and then have a witness sign. Well, the witness signature is not verified. And it can be just a squiggly line. And so we've also seen how these non-government organizations get money from the state, and they're always left-leaning non-government organizations, and they participate in voter registration drives. And just now, the past month, we've seen in Los Angeles, there's been a plea deal in federal court where a woman was registering homeless people to vote in Skid Row, paying them money and cigarettes. The homeless people were sending the ballots to her home in some cases, or just making up addresses altogether. So these are all things that the California Democrats have instituted by making it easier and easier and easier to commit fraud. And now it's just blowing up and people are really outraged.
I know someone who went to vote in an area that they don't live in, and they do not have a California ID at all. And so they went to vote in the area they don't live in, and he asked if he needed ID. Like, no ID. Just write down your address and go vote, whatever, right? And this person doesn't even have a California ID yet. He was allowed to vote.
You just brought up a really great example. So, just this past year, Gavin Newsom signed a bill saying that if you show voter ID, if you actually show ID when you vote, that's illegal. So, you're just supposed to walk in, say your name, and you can vote. And the other problematic part of our voter registration is you can go online right now to the Secretary of State website for elections, and it says as plain as day that if you don't have a social security number or a driver's license, you can use a gym membership or a prescription pill bottle to
Man,
register to vote in California.
that's crazy. Why, what percentage of the voters in California are conservative? What percent did you say?
Well, we know
You said
from voter registration.
non-Democrats.
Yeah, we know from voter registration records that 45% of the state are registered Democrats. And then only 25% of the state are registered Republicans. And then the rest are what's called no party preference or decline to state. Or they're libertarians, or they're socialists, or they're communists. Literally, it's a very mixed bucket.
So, if that is the case, how is it that the Democrats are able to rule California for so long with such destruction? If the voter, if they don't have really, they don't have enough voters there, how are they able to maintain control?
The first thing that they did about 10 years ago was they changed what's called the jungle primary. So, in every other state, if you're listening to me right now, you're used to getting a ballot during the primary that only has a candidate for governor from your political party. So, let's say you're a Republican.
Right.
You're only going to see a Republican candidate. If you're a Democrat, you're only going to see a Democrat. In California, they did away with that. So, in the primary, anybody can vote for anybody. Well, of course, that favors Democrats. So what we see in November in the runoff are Democrat versus Democrat.
Why don't the federal government do something about this? Can't they
That's a
stop it or
great
change it
question.
or something?
Well, we all know what Biden did when he was in office. He was not interested in election integrity at all, and he was interested in open borders and flooding California with people who were crossing illegally. But now we have Trump in office and things have changed. And I'm happy to say that First Assistant Bill Esaly, who is an attorney general for the federal government in California, he has sent investigators to Los Angeles, registrar of voters, to investigate on the ground. And he is accepting tips right now. And this is the most exciting part because everybody asks about this. What about the arrests? Well, according to his ex post, he says he's going to wait for the election to be certified, but we should see arrests in election interference coming in 1 to 2 months.
And is that enough time to make sure everything went well, goes well in November?
I certainly hope so. We also have what's called voter ID on the ballot. So that's a citizens' initiative where different groups got 1.3 million signatures in California to get it on the ballot. So people have to show proof of citizenship. They have to show proper ID, not a prescription pill bottle when they vote. But again, we'll see what happens. The Democrats are very effective here in defeating these kind of things because they're the ones counting the votes.
Yeah. The mayor of Los Angeles, Bass, what's her first name?
Karen
Karen
Bass.
Bass. She has proven that she is an empty shell. She has no idea what she's doing at all. And the people know that. Why would they vote her in again? I'm surprised she got one vote.
It's a very good question. You bring up some good points. I mean, she was actually visiting Cuba 20 years ago, while her opponent, Spencer Pratt, was on a reality show many years ago. So she definitely has, communist roots. So there's fair questions being asked here. Do I believe that elections are not fair in California? Absolutely. But do I also believe that California has a far-left socialist problem? Yes. What's happening is we're seeing the Mamdani effect, the socialist effect going on in every town up and down California. It is the far-left Marxist socialist. They call themselves Democrats, though they run as a Democrat, and they're fighting against the establishment. Moderate, and they're not even moderate anymore, Democrats. So there's a battle going on in the California Democratic Party for control. And I'm very concerned that a state that I believe is already is run by socialists is instead is going to be run by socialist Marxists.
Well, but what I don't understand, and you're right about that, 100%. But what I don't understand, with Karen Bass, for example, crime has gone up. Police officers are not around the way they should be in Alabama because of defunding. They have allowed the inmates out of the prisons and jails. The fire that happened, it's just all out of control. I mean, why would the voters want more of that? Look like it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, even a socialist voter, why would they want more of that? Because that's all she's going to bring, and it's not going to get better. Why would the voters want more pain like that?
That is such a great question, and I can actually give you an answer from a candidate perspective. I ran for San Diego County Board of Supervisors 3 years ago, and I ran in what's called a Democrat plus 30 district. That is a district that Democrats outnumber Republicans 2.5 times to 1. So it's miracle category. I felt called to run in that race, and I'm glad that I did. But I can tell you from just speaking to people in communities, when they see somebody with an R next to their name and they're a Democrat, they freeze like a deer in the headlights. They're like, "Oh, you're a Trumper. Oh, you're a MAGA extremist. Oh, you're a COVID denier. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're an election denier." And the Democrats are very well schooled. They have read the book Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky backwards and forwards. It is their playbook. They label Republicans that way. They even go so far as to Photoshop a Make America Great hat again on political mailers. And if you're listening and you're in a red state, you're like, "Oh, I'd vote for a person like that." Well, in California, it is a big turnoff to Democrats. And then there's the money, Jesse. The money here. The unions own California. And in my race, even though it was a deep blue district where I didn't stand a chance, they spent $1.5 million against me. And that is the playbook.
What a mess.
It is.
And so the Democrats are able to convince the voters, MAGA is bad, Donald Trump is bad, Republicans are bad. And the voters don't have the common sense to see that they're being played. and they don't see what's really going on as far as producing a good city or making things happen. The voters don't have sense enough to see that because they have judged the Republicans.
Absolutely. So you can be the best candidate in the world. You really want to serve people. You really want to talk about the issues. You want to talk about policy. But all they're going to say is you are a right-wing extremist fascist. And when I ran, I was called a Nazi, a Nazi because of my German last name. I became a Christian in my 30s after being raised Jewish as a kid. And that is how obscene politics are. They'll call somebody who's a Christian and raised Jewish a literal Nazi just to win an election. And it's sad to say, Jesse, it works in California.
That's amazing. I want to ask you about the illegal situation and dual citizenship. I know several people who are friends of mine who have dual citizenships. Should a dual citizenship person be allowed to vote?
You know, the law has changed quite a bit. It used to be that there was really no such thing in the United States of America as a dual citizen. It was not recognized.
Amazing.
And in fact, if you're an American citizen and you voted in a foreign election, you could risk losing your citizenship. So I don't really agree with dual citizenship. I think you should be loyal first and foremost to the United States of America and our flag.
Yeah. And so we should go back to not allowing them the opportunity to vote then.
Unless they
get rid of the dual citizenship.
Yeah. Pick one country. Because then does that dual citizen get to vote in two elections?
Yeah, I understand that. And should we allow foreigners to come into our country and be a part of our government? You know, like become mayors and governors and Ilhan Omar and all those people. Should we allow foreigners to be a part of our government?
I think yes. I think if you have become an actual citizen of the United States of America and you have demonstrated good character, you have taken an oath to this country and you've given no other reason to make people think that you have any other allegiances besides the United States of America, I do. But to your point, we have a lot to be suspicious about because we do seem to have an influx, Kamala Harris included,
yes,
Barack Obama included,
yeah,
of people who've lived outside of the United States a big part of their lives.
Personally, and you can show me where I'm wrong if you like, I don't think we should let foreigners be in our government and like Congress people, mayors and all that, because don't you learn all the secrets of like how we function and you can fight against that and all that, because wherever you came from, your heart is always going to be at home. You know, like it's never going to be like 1% for America if you're from Somalia somewhere, because you were raised and, you know, you grew up there. That's the mentality you have. And it's hard for a foreigner to develop American mindset where they just, you know, totally committed to the country.
Well, if you want to run for president of the United States, you have to be born here. So that's something that's in the Constitution of the United States of America. So clearly our founders saw what you're saying right there about why it's so important to be born in the United States to hold the highest office in the land.
Right. Because look at Mondami. He's now bringing in Muslim people to help run the city and his administration. He's bringing in all these ideas from a country like that. And now he's in office, there's nothing to stop him from doing that. So it's changing New York. It was already changing. But it's even worse now. They're bringing these Allahu Akbar churches, and I mean, it's just everything is changing because that is the mindset from the home country that you grew up in. And so I don't think people like that should be, they could live here if they got to or want to, but I just don't think they should be governor, mayor, or any aspect of our government. Am I wrong?
We have a socialist problem. Mamdani is a perfect example. We have a socialist problem in the United States of America. Even when the votes are legit, younger people are turning towards socialism. It's alarming.
Look at Ilhan Omar, right? They said she came here as a refugee from a bad place. She got involved in government. And she's like totally against America. And she doesn't even, in my opinion, she doesn't even appreciate America enough to say, thank you, America, for letting me come here. Thank you. I can't believe I'm in government. I'm going to do my very best to uphold and enforce the law of the United States of America. I never hear her really say that. She seems to be against America.
To me, it's shocking. So in my lifetime, as a kid, as a teenager, even in my 30s, I could never have imagined a United States of America where we have people in elected office like Ilhan Omar.
Yes.
Openly disparage not only America's, but she calls out specifically white people.
Yeah.
To me, it's shocking. I didn't live in that world growing up.
Right.
Where people spewed that kind of hateful rhetoric.
Why do we allow that, though? It's like, when I become president, I'm going to make sure I end all that. But I don't even know why our government would allow foreigners to get in and be so against America. And they are involved in the government. Not like they're just a citizen, but they'll have the inside scoop as to what's going on for the most part.
I don't agree with them, but because I'm such a believer in the First Amendment, and I know you believe firmly in the Constitution and the First Amendment as well, they have the right to say, I hate America. I know it's awful and it's terrible, but we still have to defend their right to say it. I know it's terrible.
Personally, and then I want to move on, but personally, I think that if they were in government, mayor, whatever, governor, whatever, I don't think they should have the right to say, I hate America. Because are you going to represent a country that you hate?
Absolutely. And, they take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. So if somebody's going to say hateful rhetoric like that, I think you have a really good point. It goes beyond First Amendment protected speech.
Yeah.
If it's a violation of their oath of office.
It's like me being married to my wife and telling her every day, I hate you.
Right. What a great example.
I hate you, wife.
But I took a vow. But I hate you. Yeah, that would not fly in any marriage. So it shouldn't fly in the United States.
This is so insane to me. I don't know what to do with it. It's just mind-blowing. I remember when the Palestinian on these college campuses was shouting death to America and free Palestine and all that. I never imagined that on American soil that I would see foreigners coming in, going to the universities here, and then denouncing Americans, stepping on the flag. And somebody needs to send these people back so fast to make their head swim.
It happened right here in San Diego, at the University of California, San Diego. We had breakouts of riots and violence from the pro-Hamas people, as I call them, because that's really what they are.
Right.
And it's really interesting. When Kamala announced that she was running for president, did you notice that all those riots and protests just suddenly stopped? Like somebody who was funding them turned off the spigot.
Yeah. One other quick thing. I'm looking at the president, how he deported illegal aliens. And he going right now, they said he's going after the criminals. How do you think, two things. How is the president doing concerning deporting the illegal aliens? And what do you think about the people who are going out protesting against ICE, trying to stop them from protecting the American people?
God, you asked me that. I actually had a conversation with the public information officer of ICE this morning, and I think they're doing an excellent job. They've been arresting child predators, people who don't have any right to due process because they've already been ordered deported. But because we live in a sanctuary state, California, they've been protected by Gavin Newsom. And during Thanksgiving weekend, right here in San Diego, there was a 25-year-old illegal alien. He had been twice convicted of DUI. He was on his third DUI. This was Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. A military family was traveling through San Diego County. Dad's a U.S. Marine. Mom's in the front seat. Three kids are in the back. This two-time drunk did a head-on collision with this military family. The 8-year-old daughter died instantly. The two boys in the back of the seat were sent to the hospital with broken bones. The mom, she's been in a wheelchair for the past year. Her ankle was shattered. And the U.S. Marine, he had traumatic brain injuries that he's still recovering from. He had to have the upper, right above his knee, amputated because his knee was so shattered. So this was, not only was this guy's third DUI, only 25 years old, he was ordered removed, but he was allowed to stay in this country because of our lax sanctuary state laws. So I think of that family when I talk about why I am against sanctuary state policies that threaten our public safety and are taking American lives.
Yeah, I believe that, let's say they had not committed a physical crime, but the fact that they're here illegally, that is a crime. I don't care, you know what I mean? Because I hear it a lot. Well, they didn't commit a crime. Yes, they did. They came across the border illegally, however they got here. And so that alone is a crime. So just, they all should go, in my opinion.
It's so big that in December of 2023, when Biden was in office, I went out to the middle of the desert, 60 miles east from where I'm sitting here, where Donald Trump's wall is. And there were these huge holes in the wall because Biden didn't want to fix the hole.
Right, I remember that.
And December 2023, I went out there with a crew and I literally saw hundreds of people entering our country illegally. Border Patrol was ordered to stand down. They became greeters at the borders, pointing them to the non-government organizations that were being paid hundreds of millions of dollars to house them, give them free phones, and then give them air, same-day air to anywhere they wanted in this country. The most startling thing I found was two things, Jesse. One was there was a group of 100 Chinese nationals. So it's a surreal thing. You're in the middle of the desert and there's a group of 100 Chinese nationals, well-dressed, like they just got off an airplane and they're carrying roller baggage.
Wow.
Then the other startling thing that I found is there's trash all along the U.S. border. Not so much anymore. Thank you, Donald Trump. And as you examine the trash closer, it's actually discarded passports and IDs. So not only were people entering the country illegally and they weren't vetted, no matter what Biden said, they were destroying evidence of their true identity and national origin. So I believe right now we have a huge national security threat of sleeper cells in our country, thanks to Joe Biden. And we can all thank Donald Trump because a lot of that has stopped.
So,
almost all of it.
So, am I ever getting my country back?
Not the one that we knew. Not the one in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s.
Right.
It's gone forever, Jesse.
I
not getting it.
remember when I first started my work that I do, we used to hold rallies at the Federal Building here in L.A., along with Barbara Cole, these other Fosters and others. And we were trying to get the government here to shut down the border, because at that time, early 90s, they were letting the illegals come in. And we were hearing stories how people were losing their jobs and everything, even back in the 90s.
I remember.
And what I've noticed that it has only gotten worse. It didn't get better, even with us protesting about it. The government didn't pay attention to us at all.
No, they didn't.
And knowing that, do you think the situation will ever get better with the illegal alien situation?
I think we're at great risk if in 2028 the federal government is in the hands of the Democrats again.
Yeah.
We will go right back to open borders. But I'm also going to express a little bit of dissatisfaction towards Republicans right now, because I don't believe that these open borders could have happened in my lifetime if it wasn't for what many people refer to as the Uniparty. And I'm a registered Republican, but I also was at a round table with a congressman from Texas, Chip Roy. He came out to visit San Diego and met with leaders here. I was one of them. And I asked him point blank about what he was doing about the border situation. And he just threw up his hands.
Yeah.
Now, I realize that under Biden, the Republicans didn't have control of the House or the Senate. I get it. But still, just the fact that I had a real life Republican congressman, you know, sitting in front of me at a round table, and he's telling me there's nothing he can do.
Yeah.
There's nothing a congressman can do. What can we do?
That's right. Prior to the Great White Hope, Donald Trump, I had given up on the Republican Party. I realized we only had a one-party system because the Republican representative was agreeing with the Democrats. They were going right along with them. And I had decided that I wasn't going to even vote anymore for the Republicans. Not that I'll vote for a Democrat either, because they were not doing anything. And it wasn't until Donald Trump came along and got in that I started to see a change. And so my concern is that when Donald Trump is gone, those right-o Republicans are just going to go back to their old ways in supporting the Democratic Party, never mind what we, the voters, think.
It's amazing when the Democrats get in office. Ooh, boy, are they fighters.
Yeah.
They're calling us, you know, MAGA fascists and Nazis, and they're calling for the arrests of federal agents, ICE agents, openly. And then when Republicans are not in power, what are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, if you're not in power, but you're still holding elected office, you still have your voice.
Yeah.
And a lot of them just don't do anything.
Yeah. What a mess.
You're right.
I'm saving my money because I know that Elon Musk is going to eventually make it possible that we can live on the moon. And so I'm saving my money and I'm going up with the first load of people. And I'm going to move to the moon, wherever they're going. Because it's once Donald Trump is gone, it's over for my country. And there's nowhere else to go but to the moon.
No, just don't let any socialists or Marxists with you on the moon.
Right. That's right. You got to show real ID or show exactly who you are.
And you're going to go to the moon.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And they have put my face on this beautiful silver coin to commemorate this occasion. That's amazing. Call 800-411-2663. That's 800-411-BOND. Grab yours now before they are gone.
So let me ask about Israel. Do you support Israel?
I do.
I grew up loving Israel. As a kid, I always, my people, my family members and others spoke highly of Israel. The Christians spoke highly of Israel because at that time, they realized that if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity. So we're like family, right? Mm-hmm. I never thought I would see the day when people would be so against Israel. What happened that turned a lot of the American people away from Israel? They're our ally. They're, you know, we're friends. What happened that turned so many people away from Israel?
I do have some answers to that. Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that people can be so obsessed. You know, Trump derangement syndrome. There's such a thing as Israel derangement syndrome. Like, that's all people can talk about online. It's as if Israel is the only country that exists. We do know that it's the only democracy in the Middle East. Why aren't these people who are so anti-Israel also being critical of the regimes, the Islamic regimes that are oppressing women especially? But they're not. They're singularly focused on Israel. So why? I've come to this conclusion, and I'm a believer in Jesus, and I think it's a spiritual attack. I truly believe that, if I may get a little bit spiritual here.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. You know, we know the end of the story. We've read the book of Revelation, and we know that the Jewish people are a part of end times, and that a group, a remnant, is going to turn towards Christ in the last days. And so when people have like this demonic like hatred, and I get a lot of it online, I don't even express support for Israel on my social media accounts, but I do tell my Christian testimony of how I was raised Jewish, and the demons come out. Yeah. Oh, Israel this, Israel that. I just told my Christian testimony of how I had a bat mitzvah and I became a Christian in my 30s, and these demons are in my comments talking about Israel. So yes, I believe it's spiritual.
I never thought that I even hear and have heard American citizens supporting Palestine over Israel. And then I hear them also saying that Donald Trump is controlled by Netanyahu. And anybody with any common sense know that Trump is not controlled, the president is not controlled by anyone. But they literally think that Netanyahu has control over Donald Trump.
Exactly. You know, and it's just totally and completely ridiculous that we're a world power,
yeah,
and we're controlled by Israel? Come on. Like, when I see these people, and there sadly, last month in San Diego, there was a shooting at a mosque, and it was two teenage boys, and they put out a 75-page manifesto, and they had several targets in mind, by the way, that they were going to hit. And the one that they were successful at, and they murdered three people at, was the Islamic Center in San Diego. And as you look through their manifesto, they say they're not MAGA, these two boys. They hate Jews first and foremost. But what was really interesting was they talked about they hated Trump because they said Trump was controlled by Israel and Netanyahu. So it's a really twisted, demonic type of ideology,
yeah,
that's getting into even kids' heads these days.
Amazing. One other thing about the mess that's going on in my country, illegal aliens and all this stuff that's going on, socialism. Was it a mistake to allow women to vote?
I love voting.
I'm sorry?
I got my degree in political science. I promise I'm being a responsible voter. I'm also a state-licensed private investigator in California. I've had my license since 1999. And I take voting very seriously. I research candidates like I am doing an investigation. And I've only missed one election in my entire adult life. So that's, if there was an election on Christmas, for some reason, I would vote on Christmas. That's how much I value my right to vote.
I know, but that's unusual and different for you. But most women are psychologically and emotionally unreasonable. They tend to operate from what they feel and what they think. And if you know, anytime you operate from what you think and feel, it can always be wrong. And there are more women voters than men. And a lot of these laws and things that are passed and government support for women who have children, no husband, all this mess, is due to the fact that you have women voters. Wouldn't we be a better off country if women did not vote?
Ooh, I don't think so. And as far as like how I see the Bible and what the Bible doesn't speak into that women shouldn't vote. God did wire women differently. We are more emotional. Just ask my husband. Right? But I think we bring something valuable to the table. I think you're right. Women do tend to vote on more emotional reasons.
Yeah.
And that is a real loss to our country. I wish it could be different. But I would also like to see more men step up and vote.
Yeah.
And right here in California, we've got 12-year-old boys who think they are girls who are changing in middle school locker rooms in front of girls, making these girls very upset, crying. They go home to their mom and dad. It's usually mom, by the way, who goes to the school and says, this should not be happening to my daughter. And then she's called a homophobe or a transphobe. And that the girls just need to get over it. Dads, stand up. Protect your daughters. This has happened. This is real in California. It is legal. For the past 10 years, in California schools from kindergarten to 12th grade, if a 5-year-old boy decides that he's a girl one morning, by law in California, he can go into the girls' bathroom.
Right.
California Democrats passed laws saying that tampons, this was passed by the state legislature, tampons can be in the boys' locker room and bathrooms. And of course, we just saw sports finals, CIF, happen in California, and we saw a boy steal 3 medals from girls. So I'm saying, okay, men, step it up.
Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
Oh, no.
And why not? And why not?
Well, it's science. First of all, I try to reason with people on the basis of science. I mean, there is a biological difference between men and women. And the fact of the matter is if you take that boy that I just gave you the example of that just stole the triple jump from one of the girls who's been working her whole life, he would have placed 3,000th in the state as a boy. But because he's a boy competing against girls, he comes in first.
Amazing.
He's stealing scholarships and medals. And there's a girl who maybe wasn't as good, but would have been on the team, who doesn't get a chance to participate at all. So this is a big issue of mine that I talk about on social media. I believe that boys do not belong in girls' sports.
And should women, girls and women, be allowed to play in men's sport, boys and men's sport?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Huh. Well, I don't think that women physically can really make a team. I think that's why you don't see women in sports. There's only a few examples where I've seen a girl allowed, maybe on a football team, where she was the kicker, but you just don't see it because biologically it's pretty difficult for a girl to compete against a boy at that level.
And so should girls and women be allowed to even play in men's sports at all because of the biological thing and all that? Should they be allowed to play in boys' men's sport at all, women?
I think we should keep boys sports, and girls sports, because
Yeah.
that girl, if she could play on a boys team, then she has a spot on a girls team. So, and I'm speaking as of a mom. I have a 15-year-old son, and he does jiu-jitsu. And at his jiu-jitsu studio, there are girls that he
Amazing.
has to spar with.
That's terrible.
I know, tell me about it. And here's the thing, he has to go gentle on them
Right.
to protect them.
Yeah.
So he's not helping the girl because he's not really competing at his highest level. And the girl, yeah, I just keep it separate, and then we don't even have to worry about these people who are coming in and not only wanting to put boys and girls sports, but in California, every single statewide elected official believes that 12-year-old girls should have taxpayer-funded double mastectomies.
Yeah.
These
So,
are girls who think that they are boys, and these lunatics that are running the asylum in California want to spend millions of dollars on sex changes for 13-year-olds.
you agree with me that girls and women should not play in boys and men's sports, right?
If there is a girls team to play on, and that girl is not going to make that team, I just don't even see a universe where a girl could play at a competitive level, say on a boys' soccer team. It's not going to happen.
So you're saying you agree with me they should not be allowed to play
I
in
think it's
boys
better
and
to keep it separate.
right. Why I noticed that and that with women, whether Democrat, conservative, Christian, atheist, Allahu Akbar women, whatever, women seem to be firm that boys should not play in girls' sport. You hear it everywhere. They all seem to, for the most part, not all of course, agree with that. But with the conservative Christian women and other, they seem to have a problem where you say girls should not play in boys' sport. They seem to have a problem when they hear you say that. Why is that?
Interesting. I think you bring up a really good point about that, but I think that the reason why people are so firmly against boys and girls sports is because the if a boy has a biological advantage times 3,000 over a girl and is literally eliminating that girl from that sport. I do have to say, I mean, what sports are we talking about where a girl could possibly take a boy's spot? Are there girls that are even that good athletically that they're beating boys? I just don't even see that in real
But
time.
why are these women so fervent and outspoken when boys play a women's sport, but they don't have the same fight when you say boy, girls should not play a boys' sport? Why don't they have the same protection, the love and protection for boys in their sport that they have for boys in women's sport? Why is there a difference?
I
Because it's
think if I
wrong
had
both
to guess,
ways.
yeah. If I had to guess the mindset of that person, it would be because it's not really happening.
It's
Girls
happening.
aren't playing in boys'
Yeah, it's
sports.
happening right in front of our face. And you gave Jisusu an example, but it's everywhere. And I don't hear any complaint by the women about that. But if we said, no, you cannot play a men's sport, they get ticked about that. They feel like, oh, you're discriminating. That's not fair, and blah, blah, blah. But the other way around, they're like, yeah.
Well, the only example that I could think of where a girl could really play competitively in boys football, for example, would be as a place kicker.
But any men's sport, if it doesn't work, they shouldn't be allowed to play, period. Just as boys should not be allowed to play, period, in women's sport, girls and boys' sport. It's the same way on the other side, too. It's just, you still have guys playing against guys and the difference in the strength and everything. I'm just not understanding the hypocrisy of that.
Well, in some cases, there simply aren't those teams for girls yet. So if a girl wants to be a wrestler, there isn't a girl wrestling team. So I'm
well,
from the
Star
generation.
Went up, though. Don't weaken the man. Start up a girl wrestling team. Don't say, okay, there's no girl wrestling team, so you come and wrestle with the boys, rather than starting up a woman's wrestler team. You don't hurt the man, the boy, by weakening him so she can be in that team with him. Am I right?
I don't see a girl being at the competitive level where they're going to beat a boy or even take a spot from a boy on a team just because of the biological advantage that a boy has.
But why do women don't speak out against that like they do when the boys are in the girl team? Why are the Christian conservative women seem to be okay with that?
I think because of, again, it's about power dynamics and it's about biology. If a boy has a boys' team that he can play on, and yet he insists on competing as a girl, he has that opportunity to play on a boys' team.
And so do the
and
girls.
So he's taking a spot from a girl.
No. But let me ask, do you obey your husband?
I do. He's the only man I do obey besides Jesus.
Right on.
I had this conversation with my husband last night. I am a very feisty woman, part Italian. I mean, there's also the you know, I was raised Jewish and I have that feistiness in me.
Right.
And I was just talking with him last night and I'm like, I don't put up with any kind of disrespect or patronizing from somebody who's not my husband.
Right on.
But my husband, yes, I honor him. And according to the Bible, we serve one another in love.
Do you agree with me that women today do not make, educated women do not make for good wives and mothers? And as a result, whether they're Christian or not, Allah, Abba, Jewish, whatever, when they're educated, they don't make for good wives and mothers. And so men should not marry because tons and tons of women are divorcing their husband because they're educated and whatever. Do you agree with me that educated women do not make for a good wife or wives and mothers? And a man should not marry an educated woman?
I would be in deep trouble then because I have a master's degree. My master's degree is I graduated from seminary.
Whoa.
And I would say
did
my
husband know that before
I
he
have
married
a loving,
you?
Faithful marriage where my husband loves me and I respect him, and it's very healthy now.
But most women are not like that.
Most American marriages.
Most women, Amy. Most women are not like that. Most women are not like that. They're difficult because they think they're equal to the man. They have an education. They don't need no man. They want to, if they do get married, they don't want to stay home and raise the man's children. They want to go to work because they don't get the same ego stroking from the children that they do at work. And so they'd rather be at work getting praises rather than raising the man's children. Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't. Honestly, there are some women like that. I was in church ministry for 10 years. And so I oversaw 10 ministry teams, everything from Spanish translation ministry to ushers, parkers, and greeters. I had 10 different teams with 650 people volunteering who were serving the Lord. And so I think I have a really good sample size. Now, are there some women that don't want to raise children? Yes, but I don't think it's because of the amount of education they received. I've seen some really low IQ women who are terrible mothers, that cats are better mothers than them, and they never got a college degree. So I don't really know if it has to do with education.
You are a Christian, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Well, gave my heart to the Lord in 2004.
Right on. Were women created to lead or to follow?
Well, if you look at the Hebrew in the Bible, we were literally created to be a helpmate to our husband. So in my marriage, my husband is the spiritual leader. He follows Christ, I follow Christ, and I follow him, my husband, as he follows Christ together. He is the spiritual leader of our family. And I think that's where people get lost in our country, is they don't realize that. And as a result, marriages become unhinged.
Yeah. So are you agreeing with me that women were created to follow and not lead?
Oh, not to lead at all? Well, I think there's some great examples in the Bible of women who were leaders. And I do believe that there is a time and a place to be a leader. And I'm a leader. I was a ministry leader, a church leader in a Bible-believing church. And I'm also a community leader here as well. So yeah. I don't believe that I am disobeying God when I take up a position, perhaps in the community where I'm a leader. Women take up many different leadership positions. They can be leaders of PTA. They can be leaders of Girl Scouts. They can be ministry leaders at their church. So I don't think that there is a cap to what a woman can be as a leader. I don't think that there is this mandate from the Lord that says women cannot be leaders at all.
In the good old days,
there's plenty of biblical examples of women.
In the good old days, women knew that women were not created to lead. And I can remember hearing women as I was growing up say that they would never work for a woman. They would never follow a woman because it wasn't the order of God, and that women was too emotional and, you know, out of control because it's not the order of God. Do you believe in the order of God?
I do. I just, again, I have a degree, a master's degree in divinity, and I don't believe that the Bible says that a woman can't be a supervisor at Target or a manager at Vons.
Paul said the woman should shut up and be quiet, even in church. And if she has any questions, go over and ask her husband about it.
He was talking about a very specific time where there was a church where there were women who would talk during the service.
Was Paul wrong when he said that?
That's what he was talking about. He just said that, hey, women, when you're, like, you know how there are people that they can't watch a movie without rolling commentary? that's what Paul was talking about. He was like saying, he was not saying that women should be silent in church. In
fact, he said they should be silent.
In the Bible, talks about women who helped lead him to the Lord.
Uh-oh.
So there's that example of women pointing him to Christ.
Let me ask, do you believe in the order of God and Christ? Christ and man over woman, woman over children. Do you believe in that order of God?
In the Christian family, I do, yes.
Okay. But you don't believe in a non-Christian family?
Well, I mean, I literally have no control.
I know, but the order of God is the order.
Non-Christians are having same-sex marriages.
No, but the order of God is the order of God.
Divorcing multiple people.
So let me ask, you were leading and doing your leadership. If your husband had said, honey, we're going to have some children, I need you to stay home and raise my children and give all that up, including your degree, would you have done that? Would you have given it all up and stay home and raise his children?
I actually, we have such an amazing story. I had my 15-year-old 3 weeks after I turned 43. He's truly a miracle child. And I wanted to stay home. And it was my husband who said I had to go back to work.
Wow.
And at the time, I was working at a church. So I had my son. And then when he was 5 months old, I had to go back to work at the church. So
Would you
it
have given it
literally
up,
wasn't
though?
my de it was not my decision, Jesse. I
I'm sorry to
literally
hear that.
asked my husband if I could stay home, and he said we needed the money.
Well, what a baby. I'm sorry to hear that. Would you have stayed home had he asked you to stay home?
I wanted to stay home, so I would have said yes.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I
What a
have my husband's
beta,
great. My husband's wonderful.
You.
There's no perfect husband. And you know what? God has blessed us. He
Right
has. I have a God-fearing man as a husband. It is what it is after our son was born.
I got to put you on the hot seat. We're running out of time here, so I need you to answer these questions as
Yes.
quickly as possible, all right?
Okay.
Hot seat.
Do you love white people?
I love all people. Is that
No. No,
I mean, I am white,
do you love
so
white people?
I love all people.
No, the question is, do you love white people?
I love white people. I love black people. I love brown people.
I know, but
I
the
don't know.
question is,
I
do you
don't get
love
into the
white
racial
people?
thing. I'm from the generation where we didn't see color.
Okay.
Honest to God, we didn't see color.
Right
So for me,
on.
it's a very uncomfortable question. Just to answer specifically, do you love white people? I am a white person. My husband's white. My son is white. I love them.
Did you say it
Your
was an
husband's
uncomfortable question?
white. My dad is not with us anymore. He was white. So I love them. I come from a generation where I didn't see color. So for me, I would just rather say that I love everybody.
Because of time, did you say that it's an uncomfortable question?
Yes, because I was raised in the
But why is
generation
it
where we
uncomfortable,
did
though?
not see color.
Right, but why is it uncomfortable? If you love white people, why can't you just say, I love white people? Why is it uncomfortable?
Because it seems polarizing. I don't, for me, again, the way I was raised, I don't see color. If I'm talking to somebody who's black, somebody who's Asian, I'm talking to a person. So, to be honest, before you even ask me the question, the thought has never even crossed my mind. Oh, do I love black people or do I love brown people or do I? To me, it's a weird question.
Amazing. Because of time, did you take the jab?
I did not.
Are
never got COVID.
UFOs real?
I have no idea. I have no idea if UFOs are real.
What is a man?
What is a man? A man is biologically a DNA. He is an XX chromosome. He is made in the image of God.
Should white people be allowed to say the N-word?
I think that it's just again, I came from the generation where no one in my family ever used that word. It would never even occur to anybody in my family to use that word. I don't think anybody should use that word. So I will just say, how about this? Nobody should use that word.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
Yeah, sure. I'll go with that.
True or false? I'm sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead. True or false, what?
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
Yes, methinks thou protest too much. Yes, if she's crying, she's lying.
Do you keep a bottle of hot sauce in your purse?
No, I do not. But you know what? We do really like the Cholula brand of hot sauce,
I do too.
and we buy it regularly at Costco.
I do too. That's amazing. Who would you rather see as president? Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, Nancy Pelosi, or Melania Trump?
Oh, Melania Trump, of course. She speaks five languages. She's brilliant and highly educated, by the way.
Yeah, I know. What amazing. Yeah. Is the earth flat or round?
It's round.
What is a woman?
A woman has an XY chromosome, and she's also created in the image of God.
Amazing. Do we need more white babies?
We need more babies not to be aborted.
How about white babies?
I don't have a preference for how many babies have brown skin or white skin. I just don't want babies to be aborted.
Come July of this year, 2026, right? We'll celebrate our ninth year of White History Month. July
is White. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh yeah, July is White History Month.
I had no idea.
And so we will be celebrating. Will you celebrate White History Month with us?
My identity is in Christ, so I'm gonna take a hard pass.
Have you ever told anyone how to cow ate the cabbage?
How to what?
Have you ever told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
How the cow ate the cabbage? I don't know what that means.
It's a country thing.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I grew up in California and I was born in Philadelphia. So.
Right on. Is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
No. Gosh, and men, if you do that to your husband, I mean, if your husband does that, that's not good for your marriage.
True or false, sending your child to a public school is child abuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're sending your child to a burning building.
Absolutely.
You need to evacuate your children from public schools as soon as possible.
Did you have fun?
I did. This was great.
Amazing. Well, thank you for taking on the hot seat. Tell the folks your website, how to get whatever you want to promote out there.
Oh, thank you so much. You can find me at Amy for San Diego on X, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Amazing. Amy, I know in California they're trying to get a law passed to stop that young guy from investigating stuff. What's that guy's name?
Nick Shirley.
Did they ever get that passed
in California?
Well, they already
passed it. It's called the Stop Nick Shirley Act. By the way, I spent 2 days with them in California.
Really?
He's the reason why he came to San Diego. And I can come on another show and we can talk about that.
Okay.
But we went to different daycares in San Diego. And these are taxpayer-funded daycares where there were no kids.
Amazing. So they did. I definitely want to have you back to talk about that. Did they? So they did pass that law in California?
They did. They passed the Stop Nick Shirley Act.
That's amazing. That's insane.
Welcome to California, Jesse.
I know.
Wait, you live in California, so you know.
I know, yeah. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to hit the like button, follow, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And if you'd like to see other interesting guests on thefallenstate.tv, contact my producer at thefallenstate.tv. And also, I do shout-outs now. Shout out, birthday shout outs, wedding shout out, encouragement, whatever the shout out is, go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson for personalized shout out. Also, you can go to shoutout.fans/Jesse Lee Peterson. And so, thank you all for supporting us. I absolutely appreciate it. And Amy, that was fun. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Nice.